Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. We're going to read verses 16 through 20 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 16 through 20. First Corinthians 3:16-20. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And let's finish on verse 20 together. Ready? And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the presence of your Spirit here in this place. Lord, not just the comfort that he brings, but the leadership, the guidance, the direction. All that is available if we just would yield to you. Holy Spirit of God, tonight we yield to you. Use the man of God and the word of God to preach to your people so that we could be more like you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I am going to be so practical, I'll probably be criticized by some. I plan to do it anyway because I feel like that which I'm about to say will be helpful. This year, our church and school have experienced an awful lot of illness. Now, to me, we are a church family. And I want the family to be happy, and I want the family to be healthy. We need to be healthy, both spiritually and physically. And tonight, I come on behalf of the physical side of things. Oh, if you've been here in the last 7 years as I've been the pastor, about once, maybe twice a year, I'll talk about our health. I feel it's a part of my responsibility as your pastor. Now, not all pastors would feel that way, but I do. If you look in the New Testament, you'll find out time and time again a person's health was discussed in the Old Testament through the book of Proverbs, how to eat, what to eat, how to behave, how to sleep. It's all the way through the Bible. You see, if your body's not healthy, then it's going to affect you spiritually some, and you need to be healthy. I'll say nothing revolutionary tonight. I'll say some of the same old things that most of us already know, but we need to be reminded of it, and for some, they need to push the reset button in life. Tonight, we read, and if you have your Bible there, at 1 Corinthians 3:16, the Bible says, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Oh, what a great verse. The Bible here is telling us that the Spirit of God lives within us. Now, when it starts out here and it says, Know ye not, what does it mean? Well, maybe it's saying, maybe you really didn't know. Now, sometimes people fail to realize that when they get saved, the Spirit of God moves within them. And I think there are young Christians that they didn't know that the Spirit of God lives within them. And so when it says, Know ye not, maybe it means maybe you really didn't even know this. Maybe when it says, know you not, it means have you forgotten. And folks, don't forget, living within you is the Spirit of God. Don't forget about it now. Don't forget about it. Now, some of you say, well, I didn't know that God and the person of the Holy Spirit was living within me. He does. But some of you just forget about it from time to time. But it says here, know you not. What does it mean? Keep it in mind constantly that you are the home of the Holy Spirit. For those that didn't know it, you need to know it. For those of you that know it, don't forget about it. All of us need to be reminded of it on a regular basis. It says, know you not. Then it says that ye are. Now, don't forget this. Doesn't mean that you were, past tense. Doesn't mean that you shall be, future tense. It means right now, if you're saved, living within you is God in the person of His Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God. Now, look at that verse again. Let me show you something. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, notice it says you're the temple of God and also, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You're not just the temple of God, But in addition to that, the Spirit of God lives within you. This is to you and I as individuals. I think it's also to the local New Testament church. Now, we're going to look at a few other verses that reminds us that our body houses the Holy Spirit of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3, and you're right there. Look at verse 17. Just one verse down, it says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, again, we want to look for a little while at the sacredness of the body. Your body is not sacred because of the color of your hair, the color of your eyes. It is sacred because God has chosen to live within you. That makes your body a very sacred thing. Here it talks about the defiling of your body. You know, I think sometimes, folks, we think that defiling the body, that's just all about us misbehaving sexually, or that is us putting booze, liquor in our body, or putting marijuana or drugs in our body. But let me tell you something. I think we can defile or hurt our bodies in more ways than that. I think sometimes the way that we eat, I think sometimes the way that we attend to our health is deteriorating our body. It's hurting our body. You say, so what's the big deal? Your body is where the Holy Spirit lives. That makes it a big deal. Now, take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to look at verse number 19. We're going to look at 4, 5, 6, 7 different scriptures here that I'm going to get extremely, extremely down to earth and practical. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, the Bible says this, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Now, God is telling you, you don't belong to yourself. That's another reason why you got to take care of your body. It's not yours. It is a purchased possession of Jesus Christ. You belong to God. And it says you have the Holy Spirit living within you, and it says which ye have of God. God gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit. He put the Holy Spirit in your body. God reminds you now you take care of that spirit and take care of that body because they both belong to me and I've given them to you as gifts. Now, take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse number 16. 2 Corinthians 6, 16, it says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The word dwell there, meaning live. God said, I'm going to walk in you. And it tells us the living God in the person of the Holy Spirit lives within our bodies. Those bodies belong to God. The Spirit belongs to God. It was given to us as a gift. We're not to defile that body. We're to take care of it. Let me read a verse to you. John chapter 2, verse 21. One says, but he spake of the temple of his body. This is where Jesus was talking about the tearing down and the rebuilding of a temple. He's talking about his body being buried and then him resurrecting his body. But notice, he referred to even his body. Jesus referred to his body as a temple. Why? Well, the body of Christ was the shell that housed God the Son. God come in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. And he referred to his body as a temple, like he refers to our bodies as a temple. His body houses the Godhead, if you will. Our body houses the Holy Spirit of the Godhead. Now, let's look at another verse. Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3:17. Here the Bible says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. Now here's talking about Christ dwelling in our hearts. Now that's not talking about the physical organ of the heart. Most of the time when it talks about the heart of man in the Bible, it's talking about the seat of our emotions. But let me tell you something, we need to keep the heart of man, our emotions, we need to keep them healthy. And I'll tell you, and I'll say this in a little while, working on keeping yourself physically healthy is going to have something to do with a certain amount of your emotions. Now, one more verse, Romans chapter 8, verse number 11. Romans chapter 8, verse number 11. Romans 8:11. And the Bible says this, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." Listen, look back at me. The spirit that raised Jesus up from the grave is the same spirit that's going to raise you and I up. When the rapture comes, the trump of God shall sound. We'll hear that trump. It'll say, "Come up hither." And what will happen is the spirit of God that's sealed inside you is what is going to respond to the call to go up to heaven. So it doesn't have the Holy Spirit when the rapture comes. When the call of God comes, they're not going up. The Holy Spirit won't respond and take them up. But this same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that lives inside you. See, the thing of taking care of your health, it's more spiritual than what some of us give it credit for being. Taking care of your body is a big deal. Why? Your body is the temple of God. You've heard me say this. You know this. I'm not teaching you anything new. This building right here, it's a church. But you see, God does not live in this building. We brought God with us when we came to church tonight. God is in you. Now, you've got to take care of the vehicle that God has chosen to transport himself around in on this earth. You're to take care of it. You're to take care of your body. It houses the Spirit of God. So, we should be as healthy as we can. The world has some pretty odd ways of trying to cure sickness. I got to looking and doing a little research, and I want you to hear some of the corny, stupid ways that the human race tries to take care of their health. In the 1800s, down in Louisiana, a tea using cockroaches was used as a remedy for tetanus. They also fried cockroaches in oil with garlic to cure indigestion. Now, it wouldn't cure mine. It would cause it. Get this. To cure a cough in medieval England, they would take a hare from a cougar. They would place it in a bread and butter sandwich and feed it to a dog. I don't know how in the world that's supposed to take. Maybe the dog had a cough. I don't know, but that was their idea. Chong Che is a Chinese black tea that's made from the droppings of caterpillars. They believe when you would drink it, it would prevent heat stroke. It also is said to cure diarrhea, nosebleeds, and hemorrhoids. Now, to me, I can't figure out if it's supposed to cure it or cause it, but that's what they say. I'm glad I'm not Chinese. In China, they drink the saliva of small birds to increase the health of their skin. Bird spit. I wonder if Mary Kay's heard about bird spit. In Mexico, the iguana is eaten to cure depression. It might cure yours, but I'm going to guess that iguana is pretty sad. In Asia, they drink their own urine, believing it cures snake bites, baldness, chicken pox, and infertility. In Mongolia, a cure for a hangover consists of eating a pickled sheep's eyeball and a glass of tomato juice. That's so stupid. In Taiwan, soup is made from a male and a female Taiwanese tree lizard, and it's believed to cure asthma. Right here in the United States of America, a southern remedy for the common cold is making tea from dried cow dung. In the 16th century in Europe, a cure for fainting was to take fur from the belly of a live bear, boil it in alcohol, place it on the soles of the ailing person's feet. Well, I tell you what, just getting the hair off the live bear is enough to make you faint. The ancient Romans would cure a toothache by holding a frog boiled in water and vinegar inside the mouth of the patient. It's cheaper than a dentist. The Chinese believe that eating dried seahorses will cure asthma. 2 tons of seahorses are used each year in China's medicine trade. Now, let me remind you something. Your body is the home of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies need to be kept healthy for the sake of our God and for our own sakes. We need to be healthy so we can serve Him. We need to be healthy for our testimony's sake. We need to be healthy so we can serve one another, so we can serve in our church, so we can serve one another at home. We need to stay healthy. Now, all I'm going to do is I'm going to make some very, very quick comments about some very practical things about your body. We're not going to study through the Bible anymore. Just remember this. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. We've got to take care of our bodies so that we're taking care of that in which God lives, and it makes it so we can serve Him better. Let me give you some things. I just called a little lesson, what you do when you're sick. Maybe how to keep yourself from being as sick or not being sick. But get this, when you're sick, and something that will help you to keep you from getting as sick is drink a lot of water. Drink a lot of water. When God created us, He created the body primarily of water. A significant fraction of the human body is made of water. The lean muscle tissue contains about 75% water. The blood contains about 95% water. Body fat is about 14% water. The bone is about 22% water. The average male is about 60% water. The average female is 55% water in their bodies. And God created us, and He used a lot of water in our creation, so water is going to be healthy for you. Now, the cleaner the water, the better off you are. If you can drink reverse osmosis water or distilled water or purified water, but you need to drink water. Now, I said water, not soda or pop. We're not talking about coffee. Now, you need to understand something. Anything that has caffeine in it will dehydrate your body. Caffeine dehydrates, water hydrates. A lot of people just need more water in their system. Not just when you're sick, but all the time. You hear people say, drink a lot of water when you're not well. I agree with that. Drink a lot of water. And the cleaner the water, the better. Number two, when you're sick, it wouldn't hurt if you eat right. Now, the truth is, you got to drink a lot of water all the time, and you got to eat right all the time. Eat live foods. And I'm not talking about live animals. Eat live foods. You need to eat fruits. And vegetables. I'll say this, and I'm sure everybody has an opinion about it, but it's probably healthier to eat the actual fruit than just the juices of the fruit. You know, most of the time, the body wasn't created for you to if you drink, let's say you drink a half a gallon of orange juice, do you have any idea how many oranges you just ate? Better off maybe eating the whole orange and not just the juice from the orange. A lot of fruits have a lot of sugar in it. It can be good sugar, but you just have to be careful. You need to eat what we'd call live foods, fruits and vegetables. They put a thing called preservative in foods. The less preservative you take into your body, the better off you'll be. I think this generation, we eat so many preservatives, I don't think Brown's Funeral Home is going to have to embalm us. You can just die, you'll be fine. Because we're basically pickling our bodies with all the preservatives. Those preservatives are chemicals. Hey, the things that they put in meat to preserve it, it's embalming fluid. It's virtually an embalming fluid that they use to keep that meat what they would call fresh. And so the less preservatives, the better. The more fresh, the better. Organic is good, and I realize it's a little more expensive, but the organic foods are better, and we've got to learn not to eat too much. We've got to learn to eat right, and we need to eat right all the time, but especially if you're not feeling well, and you say, well, why should I go through all that for the Lord? For the Lord, we need to keep you around a long time. We need to keep you healthy so you can serve God. So drink a lot of water, eat right, and eat well. Thirdly, when you're sick, you're going to have to watch your spirit, or you're going to have to watch your attitude. You know, when the body is unhealthy, our attitudes can be affected. When we get tired, we've got to watch our attitudes a little more. Listen, sickness does not justify bad attitude, but it makes it easier to have a bad attitude. And everybody here, anybody here that's been around sickness and illness, it wears on our attitude, it wears on our spirit, and we just need to be extra careful. And again, let me tell you something. I am not justifying a bad attitude on the basis of sickness. I'm saying that all of us need to be on guard about it. A healthy body helps to contribute to a healthier spirit. Guard your attitude when you're not feeling well, and I'm talking about all of us need to be careful with our attitudes when we're not feeling well. Sometimes what a person needs to do is go and get a little sleep so they're not so mean to everybody. And again, I'm not justifying you being mean as a dog now, but just because you're tired. But sometimes people just need to get a little rest. Sometimes people need a little extra rest, a little sleep, and when we're feeling better physically, it can contribute to us having a better attitude and having a better spirit about ourselves. Number four, when you're sick, you need to also protect your character. When you're not well, you need to be thinking about and doing what you can to protect your character. Listen, when you're not doing well, don't let all your obligations go. Let's take, for instance, let's say you have some long-term sickness and it causes you not to be able maybe to pay a bill here or there. Don't hide from the people that you owe. Give them a call. Give them a call and say, hey, listen, I've had a setback. I've been off work for 2 or 3 weeks because of sickness. I'm going to pay that bill. But you don't just let it go and ignore it. You say, but I'm embarrassed. But a person of character would take the embarrassment and go talk to whoever they owe. And they would say, listen, I'm running behind. I'm an honest person. I'm going to pay that. So what I'm telling you is, if you get sick and you get down for a while, don't ignore your personal character or your reputation in a time like that. If you're sick, call into work and let them know that you're sick. You can't just not show up. And folks, Christians ought not be milking their illnesses. Young people learn in school how to lie about whether they're sick or not, just trying to not go to school. You ought not be doing that. Okay, if you're sick, then don't go to work. If you're sick, then don't go to school, but don't lie about it. A lie is a lie. And it ought to haunt you a bit to lie about being sick. Make sure you cover your duties as much as you can. Hey, when you're able to go back to work, and what are we talking about? I'm talking about when you're not well, don't forget about your integrity, and don't forget about your character, and don't forget about your reputation. Don't let your obligations go. Don't let your life fall apart. Keep working at it, and do what you can with what energy and with what health you have. And so, I said number one, drink a lot of water. I said number two, eat right. I say number three, watch your spirit or watch your attitude when you're not feeling well. Number four, protect your integrity or your reputation or your character. Number five, when you're sick, pray and ask God to heal you. You say, well, I wonder if it's just the sniffles. God does all the healing. You can pray and ask God to take care of any part of your health. And don't you be afraid to go to God and ask God to heal you. And let's be careful, folks, that we give God credit for all the healing. Now, I am very glad that Excedrin has a headache pill, but if your headache went away, you better be giving God credit for it. I'm very glad that that Scholes has wart remover, but you better remember that it is God that does the healing. And we get all caught up in all the modern technology and the new machinery and all the operations and the medicines and the therapies, and I'm for those things. If it's going to make you healthier, okay. But don't you forget to thank your God, because it is God that heals the body. So but pray and ask God to heal your body. Let me give you one little piece of advice that would really help some of you. While you're healthy, pray and ask for good health. Most people pray nothing about their health until they're sick, and many don't even pray then until they're deathly ill. What would happen if every day we prayed and said, God, give me good health. God, give me good health. God, give me good health. I often in my own personal life am praying, God, keep me healthy. God, keep me healthy. God, keep me healthy. I can't figure out a good time to be sick. I've just got too much to do. There's too much that I need to get accomplished. Now, knock on wood, I'll probably end up being sicker than a dog tomorrow. I hope not. I don't want that. But to this moment, God's given me pretty good health. I work a lot of hours. I'm busy. I'm very, very busy. I'll get a day off every couple of months, and I'm up early, and I stay up late. And I'll tell you what, I'm all over the United States of America. I go from temperature to temperature to temperature. It's hot and then cold and then hot and then cold. And I'll tell you, all the traveling, you think, boy, that would be fantastic. It's a bummer. I don't get to sleep with my own pillow. I got to sleep in that stupid hotel bed. And then everybody wants to take you to McDonald's. You can only eat so much McDonald's while you're traveling all over the country. I give credit to McDonald's for this beautiful physique that you see up here. But I'll tell you what, I should be sick. I should be sick. Now, obviously, it has something to do with my metabolism, and Mom and Dad contributed to that, but I believe this also. I think that God helps protect my health because He knows I want to keep working. I want to keep doing His work for Him. And what I do is I pray for health while I'm healthy. And that's probably so obvious to all of you, and you probably all do that, but I pray for health when I'm healthy. And I believe I send out those prayers as forerunners, and somehow God blesses it. Let's pray for one another in regard to our health and ask God. Hey, I'll tell you this. If you ever came to my office and said, "Preacher, would you pray for my health?" I do, and I pray for people. We anoint them and ask that God would bless them and heal their bodies. But there's something that I often do. I often will pray that if there is something that that individual can do to correct their health, that God will reveal it to them. Could I recommend something to you? Could I recommend that you pray and say, "God, if there's something that you would need me to do or that I could do that would better my health, God, help me to see it. God, reveal it to me." It may be God's revealing it to you tonight. You may be hearing this saying, "You know, I never drink water. I never eat right. I never pray about my health." It might be that God could turn somebody's health around this evening. But pray that God would give you the wisdom to help your health. We pray about a lot of things. And I think if we do it right, obviously, you want to be healthy, but you say, "God, I want to be healthy. I want to serve you. I want to have the strength to raise my sons and raise my daughters, be a good husband or be a good wife. I want that, God," and you pray about it. So, here's what I've said thus far. When you're not well and all the time, drink a lot of water. Eat right. Watch your attitude and your spirit. Protect your character and your integrity in times of sickness. Pray and ask God to help you. Now, I'll ask this, and it's a quick point here, but I wrote it down. If you're going to go into the hospital, let us know here at the church. So many times we find out a day or two after someone's been in and out of the hospital, and you're very gracious, you're very kind to say you're all busy down there, and there are some that are very private about something like that, and sometimes there are procedures in a hospital that someone wouldn't want everybody to know, and I understand that, and we'll respect that. But call us here at the church. Tell any one of the church secretaries, any one of the staff, scribble on a note, give it to us, and let us know if you're going in the hospital. That way we can pray. That way we can visit you. And we need to pray for one another, but we have to know. You take, for instance, one of our staff men, Brother Stephen Davis. I think Carmen Tuesday is Stephen's surgery. Brother Davis had a very, very severe back surgery many, many months ago, and there's been just an ever slight complication that's given him a setback in his health. I want you to pray for him on Tuesday that they get this thing cleared up for Brother Davis. Too young to have some of the difficulties that he has, and we need him back, and we need him back full force. But you pray about it. And when people call in, we spread the word, and we'll pray for you. Hey, you got to pray for me. I'm going through a tough time physically. I went to Dunkin' Donuts the other day. While I was there, the person working the window, when I pulled up, they said, "I want you to know we gave you the senior citizen discount." Folks, my heart's heavy right now. I was so set back. For those of you that don't know, I'm 48, and you don't qualify for the senior citizen discount at age 48. Now, my hair looks like it's 78, and I know that. Now, I told Mrs. Owens this. She laughed hysterically. I thought she was going to have compassion on me. She burst out laughing. She couldn't control herself. And so we'll be divorced at the end of the week over this. I just ordered my coffee, and when I pulled up there, he said, "I gave you the senior citizen discount." I didn't even know what to say. I want to say, "I don't want the senior citizen discount." But I didn't know what to say. I was so set back. I took my coffee, I saved my 18 cents, and went on. I'm going to get a little sticker for my window that says, "I'm not a senior citizen, jerk." Oh, my. Pray for me. I'm having a strain on my heart right now. Let me go on. Number 7. When it comes to our illness and our sickness, I want you to be careful not to bring contagious things here to the church and to school. I think you know we have a rule in our nurseries that when the nasal mucus is green and runny, that's a real bad sign. We don't have color charts up there on the nurseries, but mamas, we need your help with it. So let's be careful. You know, things like chicken pox and the mumps and the measles. And usually when someone's running a fever, that means there's a great possibility that whatever is ailing their body is a bit contagious. I'd recommend it all of us. Now, we go around church and we shake hands a lot. Well, as a result of that, I would probably try to keep your fingers out of your mouth, and I would be careful rubbing your eyes and get to those get to the washrooms and keep your hands clean. So we're around each other all the time, and we do. We're friendly and we're kind and we shake hands, and I don't want us to stop doing that, but we're going to have to keep our hands clean, or we're going to pass some of that flu and some of those things all around. We need to be careful. Hey, when you cough or sneeze, if you would, don't do it right on to somebody's neck, sitting, you know, right in front of you there in church. Get your tissue out and blow that stuff into your tissue so you're not spreading those germs all over the place. But we need to be careful that we don't bring to the church something that is contagious, because again, we're a family. We're here 7 days a week for something. Just constantly, we're not going to stay healthy if we don't work at it. Let me go on. Number 8. Let's do this. Let's be careful not to pass judgment on one another in regard to illness. You have no right to say that someone is ill because of sin. Some sickness comes because God chooses, and as a result of it, he plans to get glorified. Sometimes somebody's sick because God wanted to heal them. I believe there's some people in the Bible. The Bible teaches that somebody was not well. They had ailments about their body, and when asked, why did that happen? It happened so that God could heal them, so God could get the glory for the healing. So it's not necessarily true that somebody's sick, and because they're sick, then they're living in sin. Some sickness comes so God can use a sick person to show the rest of us how to live under stress. It may be that God didn't think that you could handle it and live right while you were sick, and somebody else could, so God let somebody else get sick so you could learn how to live right when you're not feeling well. But let's not be passing judgment on one another. Let's pray for one another, and let's root for one another, and let's encourage one another when the body is not well. Number 9, when you're sick, I would recommend that you, if you can, try to use some of what we'll call your downtime, but stay as productive as you can. If you're well enough, there's sometimes you're stuck at home, but that doesn't necessarily mean you can't get a little something done. You might use it as you're lying there in bed, or maybe you got a chair that's yours there in the living room. Maybe it's time to answer some letters, or pay the bills, or work on your checkbook. Some sickness requires a little extra rest. Obviously, you ought to get it, but some sickness doesn't stop us altogether, and I think we ought to do what we can. Just keep going and do what you can. Let me say one more thing, and then I'm done. When you're sick, you've got to work at keeping your walk with God up. What's that mean? When you're sick, do your best to keep reading your Bible. I have to tell you something. Nobody stays spiritual unless they do spiritual things. You say, but I'm sick. I know, but you have to accept something. You don't stay spiritual unless you do spiritual things. You say, but I'm ill. I know that, but I have to tell you something. You won't stay spiritual unless you do spiritual things. You see, you need to keep reading your Bible as much as you can. And sometimes when you're down, you need to read it more. You may have a little more time. You need to pray as much as you possibly can. Hey, if you're in the hospital, you say, well, I didn't get to tell anybody about the Lord. Didn't get to go out on my bus route. I didn't get to go soul winning. Tell the people at the hospital about Jesus. Carry your gospel tracts around with you. Pass them out. Don't quit your church duties if you're not well. You know, we'll work with you. You know, when people are not well and they want to be there and they want to do their duties, but they have to miss because of some sickness, we'll do our dead level best to fill in for you. We want you to keep on serving God. We want you to keep doing right. Come to church all you can. You know, I have to tell you, I've watched so many people get sick. It had nothing to do with a desire to go into the world. It had nothing to do with them wanting to give up on serving God. They became sick. They stopped reading their Bible. They stopped praying. They stopped coming to church. They missed church service after church service after church service. And before long, they're soured. They don't want to serve God anymore. Oh, don't let that happen to you. You know, the devil, he'd love for you to just next Friday night go out to the nightclub and get drunk and act like an animal and live like the devil. He'd love for you to do that and mess up your life. Or if you'd like, maybe while you're sick, you'd just stop serving God and quit church. Now, I don't think he cares which one you choose. He'd just like for you to get soured on the things of God and stop serving God and stop being committed to God. Let your time of illness create a compassion toward others. I was recently with a pastor and a hardworking man, a relatively successful man. And he had called me a year ago and he'd become very, very ill. And then he almost died from his illness, and it was to the point where he had to take some time off of work at his church. And I had counseled him some and tried to help him and tried to help his church. And I talked to him recently, and he's rebuilt his health, and he's almost back 100% to what he was before. And he said to me, he said, "Brother Owens, let me tell you something." He said, "I've learned an awful lot by being sick." He said, "But there's one thing that I've learned." He said, "Before I got sick, I showed very little compassion on people that were ill." He said, "I've got a totally new attitude." He said, "God, while I was down, told me that I needed to stop and have some compassion and some tenderness and to care about people when they're not well." And listen, when you're down, let it train you and teach you. Let it cause you to care about other people. Let your illness create a tenderness, not a bitterness. Don't throw a pity party, throw a prayer party for yourself. Make sure you keep your walk with God up. Let me repeat these very, very simple points, and there's so much more that could be said, but let me repeat these simple points and we'll pray. We'll conclude our service tonight. If you want to stay healthy, if you're not feeling well, something that can help is to make sure you drink a lot of water. Make sure you're eating right. Make sure your spirit and your attitude, you're very careful with them when you're not feeling well. Make sure you do what you can to protect your reputation, your integrity, or your character. When you're sick, pray and ask God to heal you, then give Him credit for all the healing. If you're going to go into the hospital, let us know here at the church so we can pray for you and visit you. Oh, let's be careful not to bring the times of the contagious disease and things that we could pass around. Let's be careful not to pass them around the church. Let's not pass judgment on one another in regard to illnesses and ailments. Then, when we're sick, do what you can. Use your downtime productively. And if you're trapped at home, do what you can at home. Don't let just everything go. You'll be sorry that you did. And then make sure when you're not feeling well that you work at keeping your walk with God up. Keep your prayer life. Hey, listen, if you're sick, I recommend this to everybody. If you're sick and you miss a church service, I'd order the CD and make sure I listen to that sermon. I'd listen to that sermon. I know some folks that haven't heard a sermon in 2 months. You can't be spiritual unless you do spiritual things. You won't stay spiritual unless you do the things that keep you spiritual. In spite of how your body feels, you've got to do spiritual things to stay spiritual. And you say, "Well, what's the big deal about staying spiritual?" No, you're not. That you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. We've got to keep our bodies spiritual and healthy. The Spirit of God.